It is so good to be with you again this Sunday morning, as it is each Sunday morning at this same time, and we count it our privilege to have the opportunity to come into your homes and spend this half hour with you. We hope that you have your Bibles and you've been joining with us the past few weeks as we've been taking a journey through the Gospel of John, sort of a survey type. Sometimes we'll spend a little bit more time on one portion than another, depending upon what we feel is the importance of it. So if you have your Bibles, will you please turn with us now, if you will, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we cover several subjects. First of all, we cover in the first few verses here that the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. We're going to find out what that is. And then we come on down to verses 7, on down to verses 11, where the Lord Jesus came to show us that he is God in human flesh. And then we come on over to verses 15 to 26, and we find out here that God has come to show us that the Holy Spirit shall be given in his absence when he ascends back to heaven. And then in verses 28 to 31, he came to show us that he can give us peace. So as we begin to divide this chapter here, we'll cover each section here, spend a little bit of time on it, expound upon it, and pray that the Holy Spirit will take it and apply it to your heart. Well, as we begin now in John chapter 14, let us begin here in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and you might want to mark this in your Bible. The word mansions here actually means dwelling places. In my Father's house, or heaven, there are many, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, many times it's been said, and I know well-meaning, that, you know, if God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, what must heaven be like when he went to prepare for us a place in heaven and has been doing so for the past 2,000 years, or approximately 2,000 years? Well, in this particular verse, that's not really what that's speaking about. You see, the second Jerusalem, and that has already been prepared. That's already prepared. It has been. In fact, we find the information and find out the dimensions of the city in the 22nd and 21st and 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. And then also we find out here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, where he tells us in verse 16, he says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Speaking of the second Jerusalem. Hath prepared is in past tense. Find out that the dwelling places in heaven are already prepared. So what in the world is this speaking about? Well, when you begin to understand that the Old Testament saints that died prior to the cross never went to heaven. They went to a place in the center of the earth, which was called in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is Sheol. Equivalent to that in the New Testament is the word Hades, and they are translated hell. For example, in Luke chapter 16, we find the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. But you begin to find, as you read on to the rest of the chapter there in Luke chapter 16, that the word actually is a mistranslation. It is a place of torment, but actually Sheol, the Old Testament word for the same place as Hades in the New Testament, is actually a place in the center of the earth that had two compartments. And as you read on down in Luke 16, you find out that there was another man, the beggar died, and in Abraham's bosom, which is another word for paradise, and another word for, as we say, paradise. And then there was a great gulf dividing the paradise from the torment. And yet, those that died that were saved in the Old Testament, their faith in the Lord Jesus, they went to paradise side of Hades, or Sheol, as it is used, Sheol in the Old Testament, Hades in the New, both one in the same place. And then, if one was lost in the Old Testament and died, they went to the center of the earth, but they went to the torment side. And we find out paradise and torment were in the heart of the earth. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 and 41, we find out the Lord Jesus. It says, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. When the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and then he was buried, he went to Hades, or Sheol. He went to the paradise side in the center of the earth. Now, when you begin to see this, you begin to understand that in John chapter 14, verse 2, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, what he was doing was going to the cross to prepare heaven so that heaven would be fit to receive us. What do you mean by that, be fit to receive us? Well, remember this, the heavenly tabernacle, which has been in existence, was actually the earthly tabernacle, was copied after the heavenly tabernacle. When God gave it unto the angels that gave it unto Moses, and then he said, you make a pattern after these things that was showing you. And we find the temple has already been existent in heaven. The earthly one was a copy of the one in heaven, tabernacle and temple. And then we find out that God said, you offer the blood sacrifices to make an atonement for sin, which was a covering. See, in the Old Testament, sins were never taken away. They were only covered. But then we find out that's the reason no one can go to heaven. Then the Lord Jesus came and died, and he took his own blood and ascended back up into heaven and anointed the mercy seat in heaven, and therefore made it possible for all of us now to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Prior to the cross, they did not go to heaven. They went to the center of the earth in paradise. In Luke chapter 23, verse 43, if you remember what he said to the thief on the cross, he said, today shall thou be with me in paradise. Not 3 days later, but today. And the Lord Jesus went to paradise. He did not go to the torment side. He suffered for our sins on the cross, took all that suffering, that he went in to shield, but on the paradise side. He said, today shall thou be with me in paradise, not torment. Now, let us take our Bibles, if you will, and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, and we begin to see this, and then see what he's really speaking about here when he's going to prepare a place for us. All right, Ephesians chapter 4, follow with me, if you will. We'll wait a second while you turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Over there in Ephesians 4, we begin to look here now in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, that is, those that were in captivity, not in torment, but they were confined in paradise in the center of the earth, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. What do you mean, fill all things? That is, that he might fulfill the prophecy that he would be raised from the dead, and that he would ascend back up into heaven, where he ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. Now, as we continue on, we find out here, he went into the paradise side, here into the center of the earth. He ascended up on high. He emptied paradise, and all the Old Testament saints now are no longer in the center of the earth in paradise, but he led captivity captive. That is, he ascended up on high, and every Old Testament saint now is in heaven. Now, when we're told in Corinthians, Paul said, I would rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So we know today that when we die, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. We're in heaven. Now, how did he prepare a place for us? Now, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and this brings it out just as clear can be. In the book of Hebrews, which is the book of the offerings here, the key word being better. How much better is Christ than the angels? How much better is Christ than the old Levitical sacrifices? How much better is our high priest than the earthly priest that were here? How much better is Christ than Moses? Better than Christ than Aaron? Better than Christ? Who is better than the angels and anything that they had in the Old Testament? Christ is better. Now, notice here, because all of the offerings in the Old Testament were but a shadow, but they were not the completed, perfect sacrifice. That's the reason they had to be continually offered day after day, month after month, year after year, but not so with Christ. He made one offering, being the perfect sacrifice, once and for all. He'll never die on the cross again. His sacrifice was complete. It was perfect. It was accepted. And he died once and for all, and that was it, showing he is God in human flesh. His sacrifice was perfect. He'll never do it again. Now, here is what he did. Notice here, if you will, in the 9th chapter here of the book of Hebrews. In the 9th chapter, let us begin here, if you will, in verse 20, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." And then in verse 21, "Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry." That is in the Old Testament now. That's what Moses did. And notice in verse 22, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood there is no remission." Now in verse 23, "And it was necessary, therefore necessary, that the patterns of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these." Now, go right on over here, if you will, into verse 12 of the 9th chapter, and here we have it. Find out that God said here the heavenly things have to be purified, not with the blood of lambs, but with the perfect. As John said, "Behold, I see the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Now, the lambs were sacrificed as a type of the perfect Lamb of God, which was the Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 12, notice, if you will, not surely underline this in my Bible, because here is what he did when he went to prepare a place for us. All right, notice in verse 12, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." He entered into heaven itself, anointed the mercy seat in the heavenly temple, and obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, he did it once, and that was complete. Now, to show you, turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 20, and you begin to see here why that the Lord Jesus did this, all right? In John chapter 20, we begin to find out here, after the Lord Jesus had arisen from the dead, the first person that he met was Mary. We find out here, and notice here, as we begin to read in verse 16 here of the 20th chapter here of the Gospel of John, "And Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but you go to your brethren, and say unto them that I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now he said, and isn't it interesting, he said, "Touch me not." Other words, she's the first person that's seen him after the resurrection, and he said he would not allow human hands to defile his resurrected body until he ascended to heaven and anointed the mercy seat. Now, here's something interesting we do not get just on a casual glance. We find out here, 8 days later, that Thomas appeared, that Thomas met the Lord, and the Lord said then unto Thomas, "Go ahead and reach your finger into my side." Now, let's pick it up here, if you will, in verse 25 of the same chapter. "And the other disciples therefore saith unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, and the doors being shut, he stood in the midst of them, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he unto Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. After 8 days." Now somewhere within that 8 days, when he told Mary, he said, "Touch me not," that day that he rose from the dead, 8 days later, he told Thomas, "You reach your finger into my side, be not faithless, but believing." Somewhere within that 8 days, the Lord Jesus ascended up to heaven. Now, we're not talking about ascending on the Mount of Olives now, that in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. We're not talking about that. That's when he finally ascended after he had walked here 40 days. Then he ascended there. We're talking about within the first 8 days after of his resurrection, after his resurrection, he ascended to heaven, took his own blood, anointed the mercy seat up there, and then came back down and met Thomas and said, "Thomas, go ahead and reach your finger into my side." He had purified the heavenly mercy seat with his own blood. Now, since that had been done, which no Old Testament priest ever did, which no blood of the lambs, the goats, and the bulls ever did whatsoever. They only covered sin. sin. That's the reason the Old Testament saints could never go to heaven. But now, after Christ had done that, then we find out he purified heaven, the heavenly tabernacle, the heavenly mercy seat, and now he made it fit. He had prepared a place for us. Other words, heaven was now prepared. It was fit. It had been anointed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not with the shadows, not with the types, not with the earthly priest, but with our high priest, the Lord Jesus. And therefore, he's made it fit that you and I do not have to go to paradise in the center of the earth. When he said, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise," that was the center of the earth. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, turn with me, if you will, and you begin to find out here in 2 Corinthians. Let's go over here, if you will, in chapter 12, and we find out now that paradise is in heaven. All right, we're over here in 2 Corinthians. Notice here in chapter 12, verse 2. "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Paradise now, he is caught up into paradise. While you're in 2 Corinthians, just back up in your Bible to chapter 5, if you will, and notice here in verse 8, "We are confident," Paul says, "I say willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Where is the Lord? The Lord is in heaven. Acts chapter 1, verse 11 says, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, so shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go." Now, we're praying today, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." We're looking for the uppertaker. We're not looking for the undertaker. But if we should pass through the portals of death, the minute that heart stops beating, we are just absent from the body, and we are just present with the Lord. And the reason is, John chapter 14, when he was with his disciples prior to the cross, he said in verse 2, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, I would have told you." They're there. See, he said, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places." That is, right now, they're already there. I'm not going there to prepare the dwelling places. They are there. Hebrews chapter 11 says they look for a city which God hath already prepared, past tense. The second Jerusalem in Revelation 21 and 22, it is already prepared. He didn't go to heaven to prepare the second Jerusalem. He didn't go to heaven to prepare a place for you. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," present tense. They're already there. But what he did do, and let me recapitulate just a second and wrap it all up into one ball. When the Lord Jesus came, heaven had never been purified. No Old Testament priest could ever do that, and no lamb blood sacrifice earthly would ever be sufficient. But it was a type of the perfect Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you," referring to the cross. And then when he shed his own blood, he took his own blood, and when he met Mary after his resurrection, he said, "Touch me not," he would not be defiled with human hands, but took his own blood within that 8 days, ascended up to heaven, and anointed the mercy seat there, returned back to the earth, met Thomas, said, "Thomas, after 8 days, be not faithless but believing. Go ahead now. I've already taken my body, my blood, and anointed the mercy seat. Touch me now. Let me show you that this body is a resurrected body." And then after that, we find out when he went back up into heaven, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. He led captivity captive. Paradise was in the center of the earth prior to the cross. The Lord Jesus had told us, as we recapitulate this just a second here, he said, "Today shall thou be with me in paradise." That's the day when he was crucified. He died and went to the center of the earth. It had two compartments. One was torment, one was paradise, and he went to the paradise side. He did not go to the torment side. His torment was on the cross, dying and giving his life innocently for the sins of all of us who are guilty. And then when he arose from the dead there and ascended from the Mount of Olives, he said, "I shall return." But then he anointed the mercy seat. And then we find in 2 Corinthians that paradise is transferred now from the center of the earth. He led captivity captive and ascended up on high. Every Old Testament saint now is in heaven, not in the center of the earth. When you die as a child of God, you do not go to the grave, as Jehovah's Witnesses say. You do not go into some other spirit, as Unity says. You do not come back as great-grandmother. You do not come back as a flea or an ant or indwell somebody. You are absent from the body and present with the Lord. How easy it is when we take the Word of God, and how easy it is to sift out all the satanic false doctrine when we stick to Thus Saith the Lord. It's so simple, so easy to understand. And then in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul said this. He said, I know a man in the Lord about 14 years ago, whether in the body or not, I cannot tell, but how that he was caught up into paradise. Caught up into. Paradise is the third heaven now, and we're caught up there, 2 Corinthians 5:8. I'd rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And we can say that on the assurance of God's word, all because, in verse 2, in my Father's house there are many mansions. I'm not going to prepare them. But then we find out here in verse 3, I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He went to the cross, he died crucified, and he'll come again for us. And our prayer today is, even so come, Lord Jesus. What about you? You listening this morning, this is what Christ did for you. You can know you have a home in heaven. And then he goes on down to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except through the Son. Well, I see our time's gone. We have enjoyed so much being with you this last 30 minutes. We thank you so much for the privilege to come into your homes. We would pray that you'd take a minute and sit down and just drop us a line, write us, let us know that you're listening to the broadcast. Be such an encouragement to us. Well, again, it's been so good to be with you. Until next week, may the truth of God's Word keep marching on.